I'm Dave Heller, and this is Newsworks Tonight. Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter says it's time to get excited about the papal visit and finalize plans for attending events that weekend.
We want residents in our city and region to be ready to welcome Pope Francis as well. Let's all remember, this is an incredible time for our city, our region, and our nation. We'll talk about the time Pope Francis came to visit for generations to come. Let's take a collective breath and savor the moment.
The mayor stresses there will be police and fire protection for the entire city next weekend. He says the police department has canceled days off. Officers will be working 12-hour shifts. As for those wondering what to do with their vehicles during the papal visit, they may want to look towards New Jersey. Camden officials announced today that more than 8,000 parking spots along the Camden waterfront will be open to private vehicles during the Pope's visit. Those spots were previously reserved for charter buses, which will now park elsewhere. Camden County Freeholder Director Louis Capelli says it should ease anxieties of those worried about traveling to the World Meeting of Families.
Unfortunately, some of the rollout of this event has discouraged people, caused some confusion and some angst amongst those who really want to go see the Pope. Our message here today is, if you want to see the Pope, a great place to start on that journey is right here in Camden City and Camden County.
Now, drivers who want to park on the waterfront will have to purchase a $30 parking pass in advance at gatewaytothepope.com. The website will also provide drivers with directions for the best route to take to the parking lot. Many travelers planning to stay in town for the Pope's visit are skipping luxury accommodations to sleep on the cheap. For some, that decision is about more than saving money, as WHYY's Marielle Segarra reports.
On a weekday afternoon, Weston Fitness in Center City, Philadelphia is full of people on a personal fitness journey. They pump iron. They toil away on treadmills. But soon, this spot will be filled with people on a different kind of journey, a spiritual one. 150 pilgrims from Pennsylvania are going to sleep on the floor of the gym during Pope Francis's visit.
During the pilgrimage, we're actually going to move all of these machines. There's probably close to 20,000 pounds of weight that we're looking at. So that's going to be our workout for that day.
Weston Fitness Director Michael Smith says the pilgrims will stay on mats and in sleeping bags in the gym lobby, in studios, and even in the locker room. The visitors are staying here as part of a package through a tour company. The cost for three nights is $300 and also includes bus transportation and meals. Other cost-conscious pilgrims are paying similar amounts to sleep on museum floors, at churches, and even in bunk beds on the battleship New Jersey docked in Camden. It's a pittance compared to what they might pay elsewhere. Hotels are charging several hundred dollars per night for lodging alone, and residents are trying to rent out their homes for thousands of dollars. 26-year-old Wally Zapatosny lives in Altoona, and he's one of the pilgrims who'll be roughing it on the floor of a fitness club during the Pope's visit. At a meeting to prepare for the pilgrimage, Zapatosny said the humble accommodations don't bother him.
You know, I'd sleep anywhere on the floor to be in that vicinity of the Holy Father. So even sleeping on the floor, it's still an honor, even if I had to sleep on dirt.
A pilgrimsjourney.com is the tour company organizing the trip. Group travel director Belinda Held says the cheap lodging is actually in keeping with the Catholic tradition of a pilgrimage. It's a spiritual journey, not a luxury vacation.
There should be some difficulty. It's part of the whole, you know, nature of it. So if we have to wait, if we have to walk, you know, it's okay.
In South Philadelphia, the Aquinas Center at St. Thomas Aquinas Parish will provide rooms with bunk beds for a small cost to about 47 migrant workers from Mobile, Alabama. Sister Janet Santibanez ministers to the Hispanic community at the center. She says the purpose of a pilgrimage is to encounter God.
As a tourist, you are going to visit places just to see the beauty. But as a pilgrim, you are going to see not just the beauty, but the holy place, like remind you the faith and the love of God.
Sister Santibanez knows many of the soon-to-be pilgrims personally. She says they consider it a miracle that they'll get to see the Pope, the central figure in the Catholic Church and in their lives of faith. And they'll be too busy celebrating that to even notice where they sleep. Marielle Segarra, WHYY.
The papal visit to Philadelphia will be a once-in-a-lifetime moment for many in our region, but it will also interfere with other important life moments, for example, getting married. Many couples jettison their plans to tie the knot while Pope Francis is in town. WHYY's arts and culture reporter Peter Crimmins tagged along with one couple, though, that's sticking to their nuptials.
Francesca Fiore and her fiancé, Matt Kaczynski, were being so good. They started making wedding plans 18 months in advance. Last year, they nailed down the location for an outdoor ceremony at Aubrey Arboretum in Germantown for Saturday, September 26th.
We were ahead of the game. We were being very proactive.
Yeah, for once, we were really on top of things.
That is Fiore's mother, Stephanie, who remembers when it all started to unravel.
I remember distinctly that the Pope made his announcement, and we were on our way back from Montreal when he made his announcement, and we were frantically online and calling hotels and all kinds, because all of a sudden it dawned on us that, uh-oh, this could be a problem.
Scores of couples planning a Philadelphia wedding moved their date away from Pope weekend, but Fiore and Kaczynski dug in. Their plans were set, deposit checks already cashed. While the Arboretum location is not inside the security zone to be erected during the papal visit, travel restrictions will cause ripple effects throughout the region. So for starters, with the Schuylkill Expressway closed, how will 140 guests from Westchester and New Jersey get into Germantown? Also, the caterer will not be able to use its own kitchen. Stephen Dyke is the catering manager at Day by Day.
Our restaurant is at 21st and Sampson, which is dead in the center of the block. No fly zone, if you will. So we've made arrangements to use a fellow caterer's commissary, which is in this area, and we'll be able to get all our product up here on Thursday before they close the city down.
We're leaving double time to get here.
Absolutely.
Dyke recently met with Fiore and her mother at the Aubrey Arboretum for their final walkthrough.
We're going to stand here, and then there's going to be, I think, two trumpeters.
The wedding will not be religious. There's no minister, no rabbi, not even a justice of the peace. But there will be musical accompaniment.
My friend Mark is playing ukulele and singing, and then they are going to play trump. There's going to be two trumpeters to accompany him.
The family of the groom will congregate in Howell, New Jersey, the family of the bride in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and each will take buses to the Arboretum. Charter buses that had been blocked off for papal pilgrims have suddenly become available at the last minute. So that takes care of transportation. As for accommodations, Stephanie, the mother of the bride, scrambled to find beds for the guests.
I emailed my neighborhood, and I said to my neighborhood, help, Francesca's getting married, and we have nowhere to put guests. Is anyone willing to open up their homes? And we got 30 beds in my neighborhood. They're the best neighbors in the world. I mean, I just remember sitting at my desk that day and seeing the emails come in and feeling really emotional about it, like, oh my God, they just saved my life.
The Fiores realized that Pope hysteria is contained to Philadelphia. They said guests coming in from outside this region took little notice of the papal visit until the last minute.
Oh my goodness.
Can I tell this? It started out, they were sort of like, oh yeah, okay, whatever. People were coming from Maryland, Connecticut, New Jersey. They were not understanding the gravity of the situation. So you were sort of telling them, you know, you're going to really want to book. I was worried about this.
My concern, I got actually, my family was emailing me, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? How are we going to get around? Where are we going to stay? What are we going to do? I was concerned, because Francesca was on that email, that it would really stress her out. And so I just was sort of, okay, guys, we're going to handle it. It's all going to be fine. We're working on it. Let's remember, it's going to be a happy occasion, and let's try to keep this, like, upbeat. It's okay. Flexibility is important in this situation. Now it's calmed down, but I will say the summer was a high-stress time.
There was a lot of panic.
The Fiore-Kaczynski wedding echoes what the mayor of Philadelphia has been saying for months. Have a plan, everything will take longer than you expected, and it's going to be a day to remember. I'm Peter Crimmins, WHYY News.
Turning to this evening's headlines, more than 1 year before Delaware voters select their next governor, Democratic Congressman John Carney announces his plans to run, saying he made his decision after talking with Vice President Joe Biden, whose son, Beau, had planned to run for governor before he died in May.
It was really important for me because this opportunity to serve only came my way as a result of the Vice President and the Biden family's worst nightmare, the death of Beau. And so it was just important to have that heart-to-heart.
Carney says Vice President Biden encouraged him to run. It's not clear if there will be any other Democrats to challenge Carney in a primary. Two Republicans have announced their plans to run, State Senator Colin Bonini and former state trooper Lacey Lafferty. Mostly clear skies, 84 degrees on Independence Mall. It's 6:16. You're listening to Newsworks Tonight on WHYY. Tonight's forecast, clear skies, low overnight, a comfortable 62 degrees. Tomorrow and Friday and Saturday, sunny days, high each in the mid-80s. Ahead to Sunday, a few clouds roll in, no precipitation, a little cooler. Sunday's high around 80. You're listening to Newsworks Tonight on WHYY-FM. Still ahead, we'll check out a program helping comebackers finish their college degrees after years out of the classroom.
I think it's important for adults to realize that in order to get a job that pays family-sustaining wages, for the most part, they at least need a bachelor's degree.
Newsworks Tonight goes to school on WHYY.
Karen Treatment Center supports WHYY. Is someone you care about struggling, losing interest in activities they loved? Changes like these can be a sign of drug and alcohol abuse. As a behavioral health care and addiction treatment center, Karen helps families understand when professional help is warranted, offering therapies that restore wellness in body, mind, and spirit. A confidential assessment is available at 855-894-4325 or at karen.org. That's CARON.org.
There are, counterintuitive though it may seem, actual reasons to get magnets implanted in your fingertips.
It also turns you into a very sort of low-rent version of Magneto from the X-Men.
I didn't say there were good reasons, did I? I'm Kai Rizdahl, biohacking next time on Marketplace from APM.
Coming up next on WHYY.
The Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts supports WHYY. This fall, continuing education at PAFA is partnering with Arts Philadelphia to offer art classes for those suffering from dementia and memory loss and their caregivers. Students can experience how art making can unlock creativity, create new memories, and strengthen relationships with a new sense of community. Includes facilitated discussions in the PAFA Museum. More at 215-972-7632. Or pafa.edu/ce.
Welcome back to Newsworks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. After 34 years with the authority, the train is coming for SEPTA General Manager Joe Casey. He joins me now with a look back and ahead. Joe, congratulations on your retirement. Effective the end of this month, that means you'll still be at the helm through the papal visit. Everything in place?
Everything's in place. We have a very effective plan to maximize our capacity on the system, and we're prepared.
It's a lot more warning than when the snowstorm comes, but is it similar in terms of preparation?
Yes, it is very similar, and it's not the service as normal. There will be adjustments. People might have to make some modifications, but our intention is to add as much capacity on the system as possible, and we've done that.
8 years in the capacity of general manager, again, decades with SEPTA. Take us back to the beginning, your beginning. What was the authority like then, and how has it evolved?
It's evolved, and when I look at some of the news articles back from the 80s, and you can see the condition of some of our facilities, we certainly made major strides since then. And our future is brighter because of Act 89 going forward. Act 89 was a transportation bill out of Harrisburg that basically provided us another $250, $300 million a year in a capital program. We would now be able to address some of our aging facilities, replace some of our vehicles as a ready to be retired, and just generally a bill for the future.
I know, at least since you came at the helm about 8 years ago, customer service has been a priority. Contrast SEPTA with other transit agencies in the region.
As far as comparing us to other systems, we had a difficult road with years and years of undercapitalization. You know, some of our facilities are deteriorated conditions. Some of our vehicles are old in the tooth, if you will. So, and that's what people look at from a reliability standpoint. But overall, I think our customer service focus is second to none in the country. Our social media is second to none in the country. One of the things that I pride myself is we try to be extremely transparent, you know, honest with our customers as to, you know, what we have to offer and what we can do to resolve their issues.
Do you see a steady funding source in the years and decades ahead?
Yeah, I think Act 89 provided that funding source for us, and our financial future is relatively stable. And again, it will now allow us to address some of our aging infrastructure.
Of course, the refurbishment of Jefferson Station is underway. What will that mean for commuters?
Yeah, there'll be trying times, but our system will still be operating. They might have to walk a little bit more to get to their destinations. But, you know, the end game, you're looking at a vast improvement in that facility.
Except in good hands when you go on?
I think so. I have a great staff. I pride myself in hiring the smartest people. I'm a very a manager who likes to hand things over to people that are competent and that will carry the ball. And I think we're in good hands.
Before I let you go, what's the latest with the smart card rollout?
We're testing it now. We'll soon be rolling out a friendly user testing. We want to make sure the system works first and, you know, under real circumstances. And once that is established and we get all the bugs out, we'll be rolling it out to the public.
Thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Okay. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Retiring SEPTA General Manager Joe Casey on NewsWorks tonight. More than 1 million adults in Pennsylvania started college but never earned their degree, and that includes approximately 380,000 residents in the Philadelphia region. WHYY's Sarah Hoover reports on a program that's helping comebackers, adults who have some college credit, return to finish their education.
Hi, the Countess.
Hi, Denise.
How are you?
I'm good.
So you're in here today. What's going on?
Well, I go back.
LaCountess Ingram has come back to college after almost 25 years. She stops by the Graduate Philadelphia offices in Center City on her lunch hour to see her advisor, Denise Whitaker.
You know, I'm going into algebra, and that's kind of a little nerve-wracking for me.
Okay.
But then also, you know, just staying on top of my writing skills as well, and just wanted to know.
The nonprofit Graduate Philadelphia provides free advising services to adults with some college credit who want to return to their studies, people exactly like Ingram. When she graduated from suburban Abington High School in the 1980s, Ingram immediately enrolled at nearby Manor Junior College. She lost focus with just one semester to go. Ingram was adjusting to life as a newlywed and mother-to-be, and then her grandmother passed away.
I'm who I am today because of my grandma. And I would sit in my legal writing class like, oh my gosh, are you serious? I just could not wrap my head around it. And, you know, she was sick for a while before she ultimately passed away. And I just couldn't focus.
Ingram kept wanting to go back to school, though.
But, you know, with little kids and you're working and you're a wife and all that other good stuff, it just was tough.
You know, I think a lot of the reasons people will say are life happens.
Barbara Mattelman, executive director of Graduate Philadelphia, says there are many reasons people drop out of college.
I had a family. I needed to stop out to take care of my family. There was an illness in my family. I had an illness. They needed to stop out to get a job.
She says Graduate Philadelphia is the only nonprofit in the region that solely works with comebackers. Now, in its 10th year, the program has provided services to more than 5,000 adults and helped more than 700 graduate. It works with 12 partner colleges, including Chestnut Hill College, Temple University, and Bloomsburg University. But students can go anywhere. Mattelman says 70% of their comebackers are female and 90% are eligible for Pell Grants. She also says adults who go through Graduate Philadelphia have a much higher success rate than the national average of adults who return to college on their own. And that can have a larger impact.
In Philadelphia, a city with such a high rate of poverty, I think it's important for adults to realize that in order to get a job that pays family-sustaining wages, for the most part, they at least need a bachelor's degree.
She says on average, a college graduate earns $1 million more over a lifetime than someone with a high school diploma. LaCountess Ingram has worked at Independence Blue Cross for the past 16 years as a senior case management assistant and is now studying at Community College of Philadelphia. She felt the timing was right to return because her children are out of the house and recently remarried. She has her husband's support.
He was like, go for it. You can do it. My children were like, this is great. You got it, Mom.
She's also grateful her advisor, Denise, can meet her at work, especially when filling out financial aid forms.
She took a lot of the weight off of my shoulders, so I didn't have to do it when I got home. It was done within the workday.
Program officials say it takes most students 4 to 6 years to finish who go through Graduate Philadelphia. And increasing the number of college graduates is not just a local focus. Both President Obama and Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf have set ambitious goals of helping more people finish college. Wolf wants to nearly double the percentage of workers with a college diploma by 2025. At Cabrini College in Delaware County, adult learners meet for class in a newly renovated high-tech room.
So you can see the room has that light, airy feel that doesn't feel like night school.
That's Marguerite Weber, Vice President of Adult and Professional Programs at Cabrini, a partner college with Graduate Philadelphia. She says the space and courses have been specifically designed for adult learners. Students take 2 coordinated classes that are online and meet once a week with faculty and a learning mentor.
So what's different about it is that the time that the students are here face-to-face, it's kind of like their study time or their homework time. And while they're doing learning, the learning mentor is there to give them immediate feedback.
She says the mentor is always available to students and part of all adult learner classes for the first year as a way to help avoid the high failure rate that adult learners who take online classes have. Weber says the room and the courses are designed like the modern workplace.
They're working with each other as collaborators and equals with the learning mentor there to guide them, which is much more the authentic work situation. I mean, very rarely do we go off into our rooms and do our work.
Demand for this help should only increase. The National Center for Education Statistics says adult learners are expected to be the fastest growing population in higher education. For WHYY News, I'm Sarah Hoover.
That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben Yaakov and Kimberly Haas with help today from Brett Rader. Listen again to a story or catch up on a missed show via podcast or online at NewsWorks Tonight. It's 6:29. Just ahead, stay with us for a look at the day's business news on Marketplace. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.